Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many things you've given us this day. Now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us as we study, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, beginning the word here, guidance or guide. And we look to the Lord for our guidance. And he is the guide of all of creation. As we can see in Genesis chapter 1, the record of the creation. And we know that everything was spoken into existence by Jesus Christ. And therefore, he is the guide of all creation. He is the one that is in control of the existence of everything. By his word, it stays in existence. And by his word, it will go out of existence at the appropriate time. So let's look at the account as he spoke everything into existence. And I say as Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence, because as it tells us also over in the Gospel of John, that Jesus Christ is the Word. So when we see the references to God said in Genesis chapter 1, it's Jesus Christ doing the speaking. And right here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, in the beginning God, the word God is Elohim, and Elohim is a Hebrew word which is a plural, which meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As it continues, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day, the first 24-hour period, the first cycle of the evening and the morning, as he points out here. One thing I would like to point out is there has been a misinterpretation and a false teaching by many that he created the sun and the moon at this time, but he did not. As we continue, we see he didn't create the sun and the moon until the fourth day. This light he spoke into existence, and he emanated that light in the direction that needed to be, and divided it, as he said, he divided it from night and day, and put the time into place. So he spoke time into existence on day one and created light. And that light gives us a revelation of things so that we can see things in order to be able to interact with things of the world, in the universe, therefore giving us that guidance. As it continues in this creation. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Thus we see the record of the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars on the fourth day. He already had the light, created the process of light, the existence of light, on day one. And on day four, he created these planets and stars and the sun and the moon and all of that else out there that we call the stars. And, of course, the sun and the moon on the fourth day. And thus he gives us that light, and we use those stars for navigation. He gave us the wisdom to be able to do that, and also to guide us in the understanding of the changing of the seasons and of the clock and so forth, all for our guidance and understanding of his creation. As he continues in verse 20, "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So on the fifth day there, he created all the water creatures and all the fowl, all the flying creatures. And he instills in them instinct, but that instinct is actually a guidance given to them by God. He instructs them. He allows them to live and exist. As he continues, we see in verse 24, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." So now he creates all the land-dwelling animals and gives them that guidance as well. How to exist, how to survive, how to behave even. And then in verse 26, we see a special creation on that same day, the sixth day, where it says, "And God said, Let us," note, let us. There you see the emphasis in the plural, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God makes mankind in his image and gives us dominion over the creation. In other words, we are stewards to look after his creation, to use what he has blessed us with in creation properly. Not to waste it, not to destroy it, not to trash it, not to pollute it, but to take care of his creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." There again, emphasizing that dominion. Therefore, we have a responsibility to look after all of creation. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus we see the literal six-day creation. Not millions and billions of years and so forth, like the wacko evolutionists say. Nope, six literal days spoken into existence by Jesus Christ, right there with the Father and with the Holy Ghost, a team working together, and give mankind dominion over them, responsibility to look after all of creation. So it's our responsibility to be good stewards of what he has given us. Not to lift it up and to worship it and make it more important than anything else. Not to make it more important than serving God, but to take care of what the Lord has blessed us with. Just like our own bodies that he has given us. It's our responsibility to take care of ourselves and everything that he's blessed us with, because we are only stewards. It all belongs to him. He spoke it all into existence. He holds it into existence. He guides it in existence. And speaking of this guidance, we see some examples of God. guiding people in the histories, personal relationships, and guiding individuals for a purpose. And let's jump all the way over to Genesis chapter 12, and we see a very important man in history here, Abram, who later is known as Abraham. And God gives him a special task to do, a special ordination, and sets him on a path and guides him. Does he always listen? No, like the rest of us. He decided to do things his own way along the journey and makes a big mess out of a lot of what he did that we still suffer for today. All right, let's get into it here in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That awesome assignment given to Abram, the mission to go and do what he had the opportunity to do. Did he do it all right? No, of course not. None of us do everything right. Abram had a lot of mess ups. He took Lot with him. That was one of the first things he did wrong. He didn't go where he was supposed to. He didn't stay where he was supposed to. He didn't say what he was supposed to all the time, and he didn't do what he was supposed to all the time. But ultimately, he showed his faith, and through his bloodline all the way to the New Testament, where we see the bloodline of Jesus Christ by way of Mary, all the way back to Abram, where he says there in verse 3, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In him, through his bloodline, because you can carry that all the way through to Mary and Jesus Christ. So through that bloodline, that's why Abram was chosen for this task. All right, now let's get on over to Exodus, and we see here another important event in history where the Lord is guiding the people that are fleeing from the bondage in Egypt, and going to the promised land. So here being led by Moses, who is led by God. And God is giving them some extra assistance in this guidance, as we see in Exodus chapter 13. We can pick that up in verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people up about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You see, God was leading them, giving them something to follow, a guide, and he was guiding them in the direction and the pathway that he wanted them to go. He gave them this guide all the way through their entire journey to the promised land. But let's look at the account of chapter 14, where Pharaoh changes his mind and decides to come after the children of Israel. In chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Siphon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of the servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Siphon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word which we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Thus we see the Lord guiding the children of Israel right through the Red Sea on dry ground, giving them that light that they needed, giving them that encouragement that they needed by using Moses as the spokesman, and was able to do this great work in front of them, and they continued being guided by the Lord. And there comes a day when Moses is told to go up on Mount Sinai to receive what we recognize as the Ten Commandments, carved in stone by God. And we can see this in chapter 20. And these Ten Commandments are a guide of behavior to all mankind. They really need to pay attention to and follow the guidance that can be given to us by the Word of God. And we see this account of Moses receiving these Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, where it reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These 10 commandments give us the guidelines of having a peaceful, civilized society that everyone needs to abide by. Now, the Lord reemphasized the commandments in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I love the way he condensed them down to those two right there. Because if you go back and look at the commandments, all of them would be fulfilled if we did what Jesus said there in Matthew, to put God number one in our existence, in everything, and to love others as ourselves. Because when we love others as ourselves, we're not going to be lying to them or about them, or we're not going to be committing adultery, we're not going to kill, we're not going to steal. All of them will fall right into place, as he says. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the guidance, all the statutes, all the ordinances, there's some like 613 of them if you go through and count all of them. But many of them were given for a symbol of obedience and for training for the children of Israel as they were growing in the Lord. But all of the commandments are for our behalf. It's to provide us with a organized, peaceful civilization and a good relationship with God. And when we have that, then we have joyfulness and we have productivity and purpose. So when we put God number one and we love others as ourselves, all this comes into play. It all works together. Because when we put God number one in our lives, he indwells us with the Holy Ghost and gives us the ultimate guide, which will direct all of our paths. And as we continue the study of guidance, we can see other situations where the Lord has given such guidance to people through the history, even guidance by angels. As we see in Exodus chapter 23, here the Lord speaking to Moses, where he says, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. This guidance being given to Moses as he continues, But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Guidance given to Moses there. An angel actually given to Moses to guide him personally. And it was awesome that he had been given that. And we know that the Lord tells us about these angels. These are ministers of the Lord that he gives us. We are not always aware of them, but sometimes we have encounters that we say there's no other way that could have happened except the Lord had stepped in. So we got to wonder in our lives how many times angels have stepped in and benefited us, have helped us, have seen us through things. Don't worship angels. Got to be careful with that. But know that the Lord has angels that he provides us with to guide us in this world, to give us understanding and wisdom as well. But most of all, we have the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost that can teach us all things to understand and know, especially as he says and identifies the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of Truth that indwells us when we truly trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We'll pick this back up next time in Deuteronomy and see some more accounts of guidance in the past. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your guidance, the guidance that you give us each and every day by way of the Holy Ghost and by way of these angels that you mention here in your word. In mysterious, yes, we don't always understand what influences are on us, but help us always yield to the correct influence, to only yield to your guidance and to your holy angels and to your Holy Spirit. We thank you oh so much for that as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.